are live. James McCanny tonight, and a tremendous number of issues to cover, including a Comet Holmes update. This comet, a little comet out in the far edges of the solar system, is causing us some problems here on planet Earth, but of course you won't hear that. Or actually, it's amazingly quiet from the standard scientific community. In fact, it's laughably quiet. But at any rate, just a couple of quick announcements here first. My next week's show, December 20th, by the way, this is December 13th, the December 20th show, I will have a special, and I've talked about this before, but this will be a little bit more in depth, dealing with the Christmas star. Was it a comet? What comet was it? Do we know? And specifically, what was the relevance of this comet? Turns out there are both astronomical and astrological significance to this event. Also, let me see. I'll be talking about the sun tonight, Comet Holmes, the weather systems that have been going through the solar system, and also the December 27th show, something very special. And that's all I'm going to say. I have something very special cooked up for the last show of the year, so be sure to tune in. There won't be any pre-announcements relative to that show. The 20th, next week, will be the Christmas Star special. And the 27th, well, just you'll have to wait and find out. First of all, a couple quick announcements. This I've been talking about for a long time, the fact that the FAA, once it got into the space control business, I think the players in this field are starting to learn the hard way what I was talking about. The FAA, coupled with NASA, their goal is to prevent the public, prevent private enterprise from going into outer space. And this report coming in on December 5th, is just a good example. The spaceport in the Mojave Desert in California, the FAA stepping in, bureaucratic red tape, mounting and wrapping this project. They were going to build a spaceport there with private funding, and of course the primary first user of that would be the Scaled Composites and the Virgin Galactic space program, private space program that grew out of the Rutan winning the X Prize with Spaceship One. Now, the FAA wants some what you might call ridiculous requirements, requiring that the spaceport specify all of the fuel types and safety factors that could possibly be used there in the future. Well, since most of these fledgling programs are still well in development, excuse me, it was literally impossible to answer this question, so the FAA is pretty much shutting this down. So, as I said, the entire purpose of the FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration, and its subcommittee, the Office of Commercial Space Transportation, their goal, in conjunction with NASA, who hardly has what you might call a safety record, their entire purpose is to shut down this spaceport before it ever gets started, and that's commensurate with the what I've been talking about all along. That if you want to go into space, don't do it in the United States. You got to move offshore and take your company offshore and keep your business, keep your cards close to your chest, so to speak, as they say in poker. You don't make public announcements. And this is a good time to talk about the, well, let's call it the efforts of more prize money, NASA putting out prize money. Oh, we want to give you money for developing this, or maybe going to the moon with a private space program, that type of thing. The only purpose for that is to draw out the unsuspecting engineers who think they're going to develop a private space program, and to put their cards on the table so that they can be stalled, waylaid, pushed out of this picture, and the only players that are going to get to play in this arena are the ones that are associated with NASA. You'll find the companies who have put NASA or ex-NASA employees or engineers on their staff. Those are the ones that may have a shot at success. But you better play ball with NASA or you will not be going into space on a private space program. And don't ever think about going to the moon. Don't ever think about going into orbit on a permanent basis, because you simply will not be allowed to go there. Okay, next topic, if I can dig through my notes here. Now, I've talked about this before many times. In this case, bloggers impersonating a woman in MySpace, there was a child suicide related to this. We've had more youth murders where the kids come into a school, or in one case a ministry camp of sorts, shooting a number of people and then apparently shooting themselves. It's always rather sketchy, because when the person that does the shooting gets shot, or the person in the mall, there doesn't seem to be anyone that sees who shot the person, or that they in fact committed suicide. What I'm saying here is that there's a growing pattern in these, and the pattern is far too consistent. All the way from Columbine to the Virginia shooting, the Virginia Tech shooting, to the shootings in the Netherlands, other countries, and many in the United States. There is a pattern, and here's the pattern. Loner, a person who stays by themselves, spends a lot of time on the computer, and meets somebody, and apparently then starts associating with what you might call fringe groups, and these people are singled out. What is clear to me is that there are groups out there. This is not an individual issue. There are groups out there who are targeting youth on the internet for the purpose of causing, and I believe it's a vast experiment to see how well they can control the public into going out and creating shootings like this. But the consistency with these shootings is too robust to ignore. So my conclusion, there is a group. Who is it? I could give you some ideas. You probably could gain those ideas just by yourself, but who would be psycho enough to go out and target young people to create shootings and then cause disruption in society? So, at any rate, that's all I'm going to say about that tonight, but it's very clear that when, here's I guess is the point. There's no real investigation of these incidents from a consistency point of view, from an organized effort point of view behind the scenes. So that's what I would encourage people to view these as, not isolated incidents, but an ongoing group effort to disrupt society on the level of our youth. Okay, next topic. I've talked about this Mojave Spaceport. I'll get into the severe weather in a minute. Next topic, Sunspot 978. I'll just talk about that briefly. That'll come up later in the show. Last May, I was on, or probably even February, I did my 2007 weather predictions, and I said that December, especially mid to late December, would be a very active time. And I cited a cross-solar system alignment at that time that's coming up here between the 19th and the 22nd. We have Mercury, Jupiter, and Pluto all very much aligned on the far side of the solar system, and Mars and Earth on our side of the solar system. But now we have a couple new factors. In fact, it's very clear to me that the Mercury-Jupiter-Pluto alignment is very significant relative to sunspot 978 that developed on the far side of the sun is now directly poised at Earth and growing very rapidly. We're coming up to the December 22nd alignment, electrical alignment of Mars, Earth, and that new factor, Comet Holmes. We had the new moon passing on December 11th, and I'll talk about that a little bit later, how that spawned the number of serious storms, including storms that are raging through the northeast United States right now. Not your typical thunderstorm or winter snowstorm. These are coupled with high electrical activity. So at least the issue of sunspot 978 growing very rapidly, as big as Jupiter right now on the face of the sun, covering 1/10 of the solar diameter. That's how large this is, and growing rapidly. It could burst at any moment, and we do have these other electrical alignments coming into play. So these are unknown factors. When I made my original predictions in early this year, Comet Holmes was not known about, and sunspot 978 was not known about. But you could have almost predicted sunspot 978 from the electrical alignments on the far side of the solar system. Popocatepetl, I haven't talked about this volcano in a long time. Major volcanic eruption from this caldera outside of Mexico City on December 1st. A plume of ash rising probably 15,000 feet into the air. You would not call this a major eruption, but when you look back at the schedule of eruptions that occurred prior to this, guess when they started? Just a couple days prior to the eruption of Comet Holmes. And so I'm going to go back and talk about the earlier eruptions that actually Popocatepetl had a few minor incidents, but on about October 17th, it started. The 18th, the 21st, another significant eruption. And these are just days before October 23rd, when Comet Holmes erupted. Now, I want to talk about the time that it takes solar flares, or solar electrical currents, I should say, to traverse the solar system. So, Popocatepetl, on just a few days prior to the eruption of Comet Holmes, which is out beyond Mars. And that is about the time, about 4 to 5 days, for the solar wind to traverse that distance from Earth to the position of Comet Holmes beyond Mars. Isn't it interesting that that is when Popocatepetl volcano outside of Mexico City began to erupt? On a periodic basis of about 6 days. So then we go fast forward to October 30th, another eruption. November 10th, another eruption. November 16th, another eruption. November 20th, another eruption. And then on the 26th of November, a major eruption. Leading up to December 1st, the major eruption that I just talked about, a plume of ash, gases, dust, and steam all coming out, probably belching up a good 15,000 feet out of the upper caldera of the volcano. Interesting that geologists are now beginning to understand the connection between electricity, or at least they are reading the electrical results of both earthquake and volcanic activity relative to the ionospheres. And at this point, they're just measuring the signatures in the ionosphere. They really don't have an association. And they are of the opinion, which is always backwards when you look at standard science, that somehow the volcanoes and the earthquakes are causing the signature in the ionosphere, not understanding that it is the other way around, that the ionosphere is drawing the energy in from outer space, and that is the trigger mechanism for the volcanoes and the earthquakes. A good deal of earthquake activity also relative to Comet Holmes. Okay, so I'm going to come back to that topic, sunspot 978, and just keep Popocatepetl in the back of your mind. Now, let's see. Last week, I want to make sure you listen to my last week's show, the 6th of November, when I did a review of the 2007 hurricane season. And I said at that time that let's look forward into December, because more is going to come our way in the month of December, and it certainly is in a big way. I'll be talking about specific dates. But make sure you listen to my last week's show in the archive if you fail to listen live, because that summarizes the past, the days and the months prior to November 6th, or December 6th, 2007. Just a side issue here. The real reason the U.S. is pressuring a halt on Iranian nuclear progress and development is because if Iran, and I've talked about this before, if Iran develops nuclear power, they could conceivably start to sell it on the open market to third world countries. There is a vast monopoly now held by European and United States mega corporations, international corporations, that in fact are guarding closely their markets. And if Iran is capable of pulling together a nuclear program, they could begin selling this commercially on the open market. And the way the world is poised right now because of the political situation, remember that Iran this past week completely ceased any dealings in American or U.S. dollars. And that's a big blow to the economy. Whenever a country has done that, they have been attacked by the United States because of the hedge money. We all know about that situation. But nuclear power now thrown in, that's another card on the table, and it's very clear that the real reason that the United States wants to halt the Iranian nuclear program is to prevent them from being a world player and breaking the monopoly, as I said, with nuclear, the nuclear power industry. The National Weather Service this winter predicted we would have a mild winter. We've had nothing but harsh, cold, snow, high winds, anything but mild. So I'll always get a kick out of this. People, of course, from Minnesota on east to the northeastern seaboard are wondering where the global warming is. Where exactly is it? Because we're certainly not experiencing it here. Another quick aside note, why all of the imposters all of a sudden on the internet being promoted on radio shows, that type of thing? Well, the clear reason, and a couple friends of mine who talk about topics we should cover on the show, said I should make it clear that the more success that I have, the more they want to throw up imposters to try and sidetrack the unsuspecting public. And we'll get into a little bit here when I talk about some of the topics that just came up recently regarding geology, where geologists are now claiming, standard geology, they're claiming that mastodons were killed by something from outer space. This is a new idea, but everybody seems to desire that card, that to play their card that something happened from outer space. But of course, the one thing they never talk about, the one topic they never breach, is Planet X, or an idea that something large could come by our planet and affect planet Earth. Excuse me, I had to take a sip of liquid there, because I'm going to lose my voice before the end of the show if I don't. A quick posting that I will talk about. Is the United States public walking around in a fluoride stupor? In other words, it was well known in World War II Germany, or prior to World War II, the Nazi in scientific developments, they wanted to control the public. And they wanted a method which could be distributed widely and easily a method that could dumb down the public and make them lackadaisical and just easy to control. And what they came across was putting fluoride in the water. And of course, that started back in probably the 1950s, being sold to the United States public, excuse me, as a dental enhancement, as a way that kids would have their teeth cavity free. And gee, don't we all want that? But the problem is that it really, there's nothing to do with that. When you pour the water down your throat, totally bypasses your teeth. Any dentist will tell you if they were going to do a fluoride treatment on your teeth, they would apply it directly to your teeth, not make you drink it. So at any rate, the end result is, and I encourage people to drive around the highway, go to airports, just go to public places, and what you're going to see is the American public walking around in a fluoride stupor. And it's the example I use is, say you go to a party, and you're the only sober person there, and everybody is inebriated. They all think they're talking normally. They all think they're making sense, but since you're the only sober one there, you can recognize that all of these people are literally off the edge and make no sense at all. And that's the case with the American public today. So that's why I encourage people to get a fluoride filter for your water, whether you're at work or no matter where you are. And of course, it's hard to carry this with you every place you go, but the main places where you're getting that glass of water have a fluoride filter. And of course, those come with the Berkey filters. You find that on my webpage, more discussion about that and the availability of filters that will take the fluoride out of your water, as well as other chemicals, things that you don't want to be putting in your body or your kid's body. And so just do this sometime. Drive down the freeway and look at the people in the cars. Half of them have their mouths hanging open, staring down the highway like there's hardly any brain attached to that at all. This is the fluoride stupor that I'm talking about. So just be aware of that. Probably talk about that a little more in the future. There's an expression that is used rather tongue-in-cheek, that the people are sheeple, very easily led into a cage or fenced-in area. But with the fluoride, you can let the people walk around on their own, and very easy to control. Okay, so let me... one other issue regarding water. It's this past year, there was a presidential directive to put security, like security systems, border security systems around the United States water supplies. Well, now, do they know something we don't know? Is it to keep the water from the public? Or what exactly is the purpose of putting security systems around our water supplies, all public water supplies? And this, of course, comes from the same people who are now passing legislation to keep water from the public, to make it very limited, make it very expensive. And if the public ends up without water, fresh water, and they attempt to go after the water systems, you will have already paid for and installed the water protection systems that would keep you from having access to the water systems. These are the public water system, mostly wells that deliver water to the public. And you will find that over the past year or 2 years, there's been a huge effort to put controls, everything from distribution controls to measurement controls on your water supply. On to the main science topic of the night. I'm going to be talking about weather, the current weather situation. Of course, around the 1st to the 3rd of December, the Oregon, the northwestern states, all the way up to the Aleutian Islands had severe winds, basically hurricane conditions. And, of course, that being related to electrical alignments in the solar system and little comet homes. How could a little comet out beyond Mars affect Earth? by the way, let me just do a quick Comet Homes update. Comet Homes is bigger than ever. It has done nothing but grow in size. The coma, the cloud and shroud of gaseous and dusty material that surrounds the comet nucleus, was bigger than the sun, at least 3 weeks into its outburst from October 23rd. It has done nothing but grow. So I'd encourage you to find a map, a star map, location map for Comet Homes. Tonight after this show, I'll be going out to have a personal viewing session, and I'll be posting the results of that on my webpage. But Comet Homes has developed a significant tail. It's very roundish because we're looking right down the nose of the comet, or pretty much down the nose of the comet, but you can see the tail very clearly. On a very clear night, if you're out in the country, it's a naked eye object. In other words, you can see that fuzzy ball up in the sky about the size of the full moon with your eyes without binoculars. But for most people, I would encourage you to use binoculars. Telescopes tend to be more difficult to aim and locate an object and keep it tracked. So just an average set of binoculars, or if you're lucky and you have astronomical quality binoculars, then go out in the evening sky and take a look. Find a star chart. It's moving through the constellation of Perseus, and I will be giving an update soon on the change in orbit, and that would be due to the tail drag as the comet moves around, dragging in material. And very clearly, let me be very clear about this, we have a new minor planet forming in the solar system. But what's most bizarre about this is that the standard astronomical community is absolutely quiet. When this outburst on October 23rd, they said, oh, it was due to the collapse of this icy snowball, and it was just a little outburst, and it would go away very soon. Well, much to the chagrin of standard science, it has done nothing but get bigger and bigger and bigger. So clearly, I don't think there's anybody left on the planet that believes the dirty snowball comet model. Clearly, it is affecting Earth weather. We can see that, and let's look forward to December 22nd, when we have a series of cross-solar system alignments. We'll have Mercury, Jupiter, and Pluto on the far side of the solar system, then lined up with the Sun, and on our side of the solar system, December 22nd, Mars, Earth, or the Sun, Earth, Mars, and Comet Holmes. So that would be a time when we may see some significant enhancement of the comet. I would guess, would see some severe weather on Earth, just like we saw this past week with out-of-season tropical storm Olga, which some may classify as more than a tropical storm. But the most that the National Weather Service can say about these storms is that they're, just not normal, that they're out of season and they're somewhat rare. That's the best thing they can conjure up to say about the storms that we're seeing. And, of course, they don't talk about the storm systems in the Indian Ocean and the Southwest Pacific, where they're having horrendous weather. If you thought Olga, the tropical storm Olga, formed in the Virgin Islands a number of days ago as the new moon was passing, and I talked about before December 11th. December 9th was the new moon. 2 days later, the new moon passing, where the moon moves out from between Earth and the Sun. That's exactly the time frame when all of these storms ripped into action. Dozens of major storms in the Indian Ocean, some of them named storms, and in the south western Pacific, heading into the Philippines, into Guam and those areas, Malaysia, in the southwestern Pacific. All of these a result, clearly, of the timing based on the new moon passing, December 11th, where the moon literally moves out of the way and that solar wind comes pounding in, compresses our magnetic field, compresses the ionosphere, and drives electrical currents, all of these changing factors creating significant weather situations on Earth. Okay, so let me talk a little bit about just a summary of all the various effects that Comet Holmes, not by itself, but in conjunction with Mars, Earth, and other alignments. And let me first make an example. Now, this was all kicked off, as I said before, by a rare alignment of Venus, Mercury, Mars, and Comet Holmes that occurred on the 23rd of October. That was the cause of Comet Holmes erupting. So that got the process started. And also that was a time frame when Earth was not quite in that alignment, but when these electrical currents pass through outer space, they can snake around. They can move in like a snake-like pattern. They don't necessarily go perfectly straight. And that was the case because that's when Earth began to experience earthquakes, volcanic activity, and severe weather activity, which came in cycles as the planets moved around, as other alignments occurred. And as I said, so the earthquake, volcanic activity, and severe weather occurring. So the December 3rd, 1st to 3rd, the Oregon and Aleutian Islands, high winds December 10th, and forward, the tropical storm Olga in the Atlantic, forming totally out of season or out of character, and also the storm systems, as I said, probably a dozen in the South Pacific. Sunspot 978 is poised to possibly give us a fairly significant flare, and I would not be surprised if we did see something like that. The other thing I want to mention is that on December 1st, November 30th to December 4th, the Sun had two major coronal mass ejection eruptions. This is where the entire surface of the Sun is blown off at high of speed into outer space. And, of course, even though these don't come directly at us, they are significant in that they couple with the other conditions in the solar system. So as the other planets move around into that field of charged particles moving outwards from the Sun, for example, Venus is over there right now in that path. That builds up the solar system locally, creating local discharges, and that feeds back into the Sun electrically. So we are in a very active electrical time, even though the Sun, normally or typically at this time, we would be in a solar minimum. This leads nicely into the next topic. And I just want to make sure I reviewed all of the notes. The next topic came out this past week, and it's very interesting because I'm going to tell you some of the effects of just the news article hitting the press as I go through this. This came from the American Geophysical Union meeting, a couple of them, one from last May, and then one that just occurred, dealing with the mastodons. And we all know that there was a mass extinction. Mastodons, the saber-toothed tiger, the woolly mammoths, the giant elephants, the North American camels, the giant beaver, there were the sloth, all of these animals went extinct at the same time. Some scientists put it as far back as 35,000 years ago. Other scientists say that this occurred more recently. But, of course, this was the central theme of Velikovsky's work, where he talked about the planet Venus coming through the solar system and as a giant comet, and eventually encountering Earth on two occasions. Prior to that, it encountered Mars, stripping Mars of its atmosphere and oceans, and then after the two encounters with Earth, settled into its orbit where we see the planet Venus today. And, of course, standard science went ballistic at the thought of this, found all kinds of excuses for why the mastodon died off, or that entire mass extinction. And remember that the Laurentian ice cap, which was clearly, from all reasonable perspectives, was the centered around the North Pole at that time. So there had to be a major pole shift, because Siberia at the time was very tropical, was semi-tropical, and the mastodons lived there, roamed on the plains in a semi-tropical climate. So by any stretch of the imagination, there had to be a pole shift. But now standard science, remember last week I talked about mountain building, or this was, I believe, 2 weeks ago, I talked about the mountain building that occurred, and standard science is now claiming that when asteroids hit the Earth, they form mountains on the other side of the Earth. Well, clearly, if you look at the Moon, that's not the case. But here's the point. Whenever NASA or standard science wants to create a cause and effect, just have an asteroid slam into it, and that solves all your problems. Pretty much anything can happen there. But what's the one thing you don't talk about? Well, the number of things you don't talk about. Electricity in outer space. You don't talk about big objects like Planet X, or the many Planet X objects, as I've been saying. There's not just one. There are many. Many, many, many. Lots more than many. Probably thousands of them coming into the solar system unannounced at any time. There's not just one Planet X. There's not just one date when a Planet X object might come in. And if that date doesn't pan out, then there is no such thing as Planet X. That's what they would like you to believe. There's a strain. There's an absolute incredible effort to try and divert the public's attention. And this topic of the mastodons is no different. They have to cover it because they know that the public no longer buys the standard explanation. So, out of standard science, guess what? An asteroid blew up in the atmosphere, showered the mastodons with small micrometeorites, and killed them off. It's almost hilarious, because now they have to look at outer space. The standard prior explanations were that there was a climate change, or that there the hunters killed off the mastodons, the mammoths, the saber-toothed tigers, etc. Or climate change hastened the animal's demise, as it says. And then I get a kick out of this in an article from the BBC. It says, do space impacts now need to be considered? What do you mean, now? 1950, Velikovsky was talking about this, and he made it clear also that a large number of rocks and debris from the comet came into the Earth's atmosphere. So these scientists are clearly trying to hedge on Velikovsky's ideas, and throw in the old asteroid did it idea. The idea that asteroids hit the Earth and create mountains. The idea that asteroids somehow came in, broke apart, and peppered the mastodon and saber-toothed tiger populations with small pebbles, and that's what killed them. It doesn't answer the rudimentary questions. How did the Laurentian ice shield melt? And why was there an ice shield on this side of the Earth, and it was semi-tropical at the same latitude in Russia, in Siberia, at exactly the same time? Of course, they only answer one question, but this gets considered in the national and international scientific community. It's considered to be a radical idea. Why? Because everybody knows that they're trying to replace Velikovsky's work with this garbage. But it's accepted, and there are people out there saying, don't laugh at this, because we need this. They need that explanation to somehow prop up that corner of standard science. Now, they're claiming also that this happened between 12 and 35,000 years ago. So out of sight, out of mind, out of time. Don't ever say that it's going to be within the last 4,000 years. Don't ever talk about something big. It's just a small little comet or asteroid. Certainly nothing that we should worry about today. Don't talk about electrical conditions. And now I want to read this particular quote because it's rather humorous. It says, according to the new idea, and then later it says, the new theory will be presented and debated, etc. What do they mean, new theory? It's not new, it's just borrowed, and this is the creeping crud at its best, what I've talked about all along. They don't talk about the fact that South American cultures in Peru predated these by at least 10,000 years and were very active and advanced, and that the North American cultures postdated these and basically were survivors from the Great Catastrophe. They don't talk about the written documentation that comes down to us, like the Colbran, like the Aralinda, other books and texts, which clearly state that these catastrophes were caused by comets, large comets, mega comets. So this is a stretch where standard science is trying their best to squelch any ideas of a Planet X type object, electrical conditions in outer space, something big coming by, and gee, we sure don't want to talk about Venus being a young planet. So very much there's a strangled grip on standard science today. If you look at the standard scientific community, they are inching towards every meeting, every international meeting, you would think you were opening up my weather book and reading the titles. But, of course, they always have it reversed. The storm systems and the cloud systems are affecting the ionosphere. The lightning is coming out of the storm systems up to the ionosphere and evaporating off into outer space. Everything they have is backwards. But this is standard Tier 2 science being allowed. You have, for example, recently 15,000 scientists from all over the world converging in San Francisco, all completely unaware of the true nature of the solar system, that it is driven from electrical conditions from outside. Now, I want to mention something else, and it's important for the public to understand, why are the imposters who claim to represent Velikovsky being promoted these days on certain venues, certain radio shows, or certain web pages that tend to get a good deal of traffic? And the reason is, now, understand this from a scientific perspective. The main scientific core establishment group of scientists are trying to substitute what Velikovsky did by an asteroid colliding with Earth. An absolutely ridiculous idea that doesn't account for 99% of all of the data that we have. So how can they ignore Velikovsky? Well, if you've got a group of imposters jumping up and down, acting like a bunch of idiots who claim to represent Velikovsky, then it's pretty darn easy to ignore it, isn't it? So you find out that the role, why does NASA support directly a group of imposters that jump up and down, claiming to be authors, claiming to be scientists, that have no background, but keep repeating the names like a Velikovsky, etc., as a draw? The reason is because if those people didn't exist, NASA would have to invent them to cloud Velikovsky's true message that Earth had a major catastrophe, that the mastodons and the animals that lived at that time were all subject to a worldwide cataclysm, and that this was caused by a major-sized cosmic object, a comet, coming by Earth. So if you want to cloud that topic and override him, you have to get a bunch of nutcases to pretend like they represent Velikovsky. And that's exactly why the standard scientific community promotes, gives them a picture every day out of NASA files, so that, because these clowns couldn't do anything like that on their own. And it gives the standard scientific community a very easy target to disseminate and do away with Velikovsky as a bunch of nutcases, when in fact Velikovsky was an extremely intelligent, well-versed, very well-educated, very calm, very collected, well-researched person, far better than any of these scientists today, far better researched and far better knowledgeable about the past and the ancient writings, etc., than all of the scientists together put together today, who are now claiming to be catastrophists, that somehow this occurred as a result of, and as I said, the standard explanation for anything is from NASA, is have an asteroid collide into it, and that'll take care of all your problems. So what you get is the standard fare, Tier 2 science. You get the nutcases that are promoted by NASA through backdoor techniques, through funding, and through a good deal of effort to make them, they try and put some low-level PhDs in association with them to encourage people to look at that. But the end result is the standard scientific community has a very easy target to ignore. Isn't that interesting? So I believe it's important to map this out for people so they understand that both sides don't have the correct story. Both sides are a smokescreen, and that the true Tier 1 science, the ones that the scientists that really bring the information to the top, what you would call the secret societies, the people who guard this type of information as secret, it keeps them from exposing this information to the public. That's their biggest fear, that the public will know about the true nature of Planet X, the true history, and understand that these yahoos who are trying to run the world are absolutely powerless against these forces that come from outer space. Since they're control freaks, since they're control mania people, that's their goal, is to control the human race. The one thing that they certainly don't want you to know about is the fact that there's something out there that they have no control over. And when that baby rolls around the horizon someday in the form of a big comet, the last thing they want you to know about is my work that shows that comets are not dirty snowballs, that they can be big, they can threaten the entire solar system, not just planet Earth. They do have action at a distance. They don't have to collide with Earth. And yes, they can bring a barrage of rocks and pebbles of all sizes, from small to large. And this, in fact, has happened in the past, and it will happen in the future. The latest barrage of imposters are trying to claim that something's going to happen in 2012. The old 2012 routine, another date. And this is an interesting, as I'm talking about 2012 and the all of the imposters running around, jumping up and down, talking about 2012. A friend of mine, a woman, the other day, picked up a newspaper, and she's not real tuned to all of the scientific things in the world. She's very busy as a nurse. And she said, I read something about this 2012, she said, and it's supposed to be catastrophes and all this stuff. And she said, what do you know about that? And I said, well, what do you know about it? And she said, well, I don't know anything about it, but all I know is 2012. And I said, that's exactly right. That's all that they want you to come away with. You don't know. I said, who wrote the article you read? She didn't know. I said, what did it say specifically? She couldn't remember. I said, did it talk about the Mayan calendar? Yeah, it said something about that, she said. And I said, so what's the main thing you remember about that article? Oh, 2012. And I said, that's exactly right. And that's what the disinformation crew, PhDs in disinformation psychological warfare against the public, they know that the average person on the street won't remember details, but the one thing they will remember is a date. That's why the May 15th, 2003, Planet X, crazy alien, people that talk to aliens, you know, in their sleep or whatever. The people remember a date, and 2012 is no different. So be advised that 2012 was picked very carefully, and the disinformation campaign revolving around 2012 was picked very carefully, because that's the one thing they know people will remember, a date. So at any rate, let's fast forward now to December 22nd and just give a little preview of what may happen here. To be very specific, as I said, early last year was that on the far side of the solar system, on between the 19th and the 20th of December, Mercury, Jupiter, and Pluto had an alignment on the far side of the sun, and it was exactly in line with our side of the solar system, where Mars, Earth, and we didn't know about Comet Holmes at that time, but these planets were lined up. Saturn is on the side of the solar system, Venus is not involved, Uranus and Neptune are not involved. But when Pluto, which is the closest planet to the sun, aligns with Jupiter, sometimes very strange things can happen. Mercury has a lot of control electrically. It's the closest planet to the sun. And when it aligns with some of the other planets, major things can happen. Jupiter being the biggest planet, having the longest electrical tail, like a large comet tail, coming off its far side from the sun. So that is what I would consider to be the major cause of sunspot 978, which of course we didn't know about in early 2007. But as I said before, it would be quite predictable to expect a sunspot to develop due to that electrical alignment. And as the sun turns around on its 33-day cycle its spin cycle, then it would be moving around towards Earth in this time frame. And of course, we did not know about Comet Holmes. But lo and behold, on December 22nd, I knew from earlier in the year that Earth and Mars would have an alignment, so it was very predictable that after the December 11th new moon passing, the latter part of December could be a very significant time weather-wise on planet Earth, and clearly that has already panned out. It's already, the prediction has already been 100% fulfilled. But the question now is, as we move into the Christmas time, around December 25th, anywhere from the 19th to the 20th to the 22nd, we could see some significant solar activity due to this cross-solar system alignment. We now have sunspot 978 staring directly at us. And even though by that time it will have moved off towards the eastern limb of the sun, the right portion as we look at the sun, many times the major solar flares that affect Earth come sideways out of these the dark spots on the sun. So we are not totally free from the effects of that sunspot. So we are not sure what's going to happen. All of the positions of the sun, the sunspot 978, Comet Holmes, Mars, and the far side of the solar system, all of these are in significant positions to cause severe weather in the Christmas time frame, starting on around the 19th of December. And as I said before, I wouldn't be surprised to see a Christmas hurricane, or possibly a very severe storm in the North Atlantic, not to mention India, the other parts of the planet, the Indian Ocean, Southwest Pacific, or the Pacific. Now, there's a weather effect that occurs when these severe weather storm systems occur. These storm systems will roll off of the major equatorial weather bands and move northwards. In Alaska, they call it the Pineapple Express. The weather systems break off of the weather systems near the equator and roll northwards, bringing tremendous amounts of water, wind, and of course then the cold air moves in from the north, so they get the combination of high moisture. I understand that some areas of Alaska, they were dealing with 10 or 20 feet of snow, and extremely dangerous, the flooding that was occurring. Of course, the floods from Tropical Storm Olga, there was a tremendous amount of rain associated with that storm, and that is because as this storm moved across the Atlantic Ocean, the winds drawing the moisture off of the ocean, and of course, according to the standard theory of hurricane formation, there shouldn't be any hurricanes at all now because we're dealing with much colder water in the month of December. So, as I said, the best the National Weather Service or the National Hurricane Prediction Center can come up with is, gee, this is one of those rare December storms, and that's their best explanation. So the end result is, we'll just keep an eye on that. And I want to mention also that in weather forecasting lately, it used to be that the Weather Service was fairly accurate predicting temperatures, and in they many times did not get precipitation correct. But many times, but usually they had the temperature predictions correct. Many times out as far as a week to even 10 days. But that is failing of late. We're seeing more and more that the Weather Service cannot predict temperatures at all. So, this is, I think, indicative of the fact that the electrical conditions in the solar system are contributing more and more to our weather situation. And this is, of course, not included at all in the models for the National Weather Service computer models that predict the weather. So I would say that is something to keep an eye on. I know from just experience here looking at the weather, they will change sometimes on a daily basis. They'll say it's going to be 30 degrees at some point, and in fact, it's either much colder or much warmer, and the precipitation is not very predictable either. So at any rate, I'm going to sign off at this point. Remember to listen to next week's show, and the topic will be the Christmas star and then the special surprise show on December 27th. Make sure you listen to that one. Good night. This is James McCanny. This is my Science Hour, and as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.